Stupid thing.
I'm just having fun.
Seeing ghosts.
The Forgotten Camp.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. It is Wednesday and you are listening to Trey Watkins and I on a Tuesday night talking the AFC. Yesterday we had Walker Kelly on, did a great job diving into the NFC, but today it is just me and Trey. Trey, obviously a Titans reporter. I, obviously a Broncos fan slash Raiders guy slash AFC person. So I figured we could take this on our lonesomes. So yeah, that's kind of how we're doing. How has the rest of your day been, Trey, since I last saw you?
I've just been watching a lot of stuff on my computer, a lot of TV, a lot of shows, just doing that. Haven't done anything else, literally.
Tape dogging? Are you tape dogging?
I'm not tape dogging. No, I am not. I am exhausted. Look, I would have to be in a certain mood just
gotta be
to
tape dogging.
Man, look.
It's Tuesday already.
I did that. Bro, I think I'm quite familiar with the Ravens. I tape dog all summer, and I came into August the most exhausted I've ever been in my entire life. I'm so serious, dude.
Tape dogging gets going when the regular season hits.
Yes,
that's when tape
dogging been busy.
Really matters, you know?
Yeah. Well, when you're a college student like me and like you, then you don't get to tape dog as much during the NFL year. So
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wow, you're abandoning your studies, Eric?
I am abandoning my studies.
You are not the model student,
no,
Eric.
I'm not the model student.
I'm so
I get decent grades, but if I have to choose between getting a paper done or watching Game Pass, I'm always going to watch Game Pass.
You know,
I like football.
I agree with you somewhat, but if they gave me an assignment where I could write about anything I wanted, then I'd probably throw away the tape just for the paper.
Yeah.
Honest confession.
That'd be good. I am
gonna write about why teams should establish the run and forget the modern times and changes of throwing the football. Ooh. Let's put 11 300-pound guys on the football field on each team, and let's see how the game goes. Let's do that. I'm going to write about that.
It's a hot take. It's a hot take.
Forget a hot take. It's a pleasure of mine. I want to see it. It's a fantasy.
A lot of people hate that. A lot of people.
Well, those people are losers.
People want to get rid of the running back position.
Yeah, those people are losers.
I'm one of those people.
Well, you're evil.
No, I'm a loser. That's really all there is to it.
I am too, bud. You're not alone.
I just slipped on my shoes. I mean, I decided to put on some basketball shoes for this podcast. I don't know why. I own like two pairs of like nice shoes, but I only wear on basketball courts just because out of principle to myself.
I mean, same.
But
same.
I decided to, you know, wear them around the house occasionally, slash maybe take them out, I don't know, to like indoor festivities at points. I got these Kobe's on right now. I'm a big fan of those. They're very comfy. And then I have the Steph Curry's or whatever they are. The blue ones are better.
Those Steph Curry shoes are horrible for ankle support, man.
Mm.
They're horrible.
True.
Well, that's true.
Hopefully I don't play basketball in those because I am liable to get my ankles destroyed.
You don't want that.
Mm.
Those LeBron shoes are the most comfy for basketball, though.
Yeah, they honestly do look pretty comfy for as much as I, you know, dislike LeBron. His shoes do look decent.
Eric.
I might have to give LeBron's a try. I mean, they do look sort of comfortable, but I...
No, they're so freaking bulky. You have so much room inside, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
They're the most comfortable basketball shoes I've ever had in my life.
All right, live shoe talk here. We're actually going to just do this right now. LeBron, what are they called?
They're just look up LeBron 12s. How about that? Look at the 12s. I might have to because the ones I have are the ones that are probably the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn in my life.
Wow. Those are something else.
Yep, those are the ones.
The website says they are $197.
12s in 2020? That's a scam website. Forget that.
Okay. Then what are... Well, these say they're between 430 and 4... That's on Amazon.
Yeah, screw that.
Huh. Where do you buy your... basketball shoes, Trey?
I always have to get them online because my feet are ridiculously large.
Well, what website?
I usually have to get them straight from Nike.com because they're the only like factory that'll make them like for my size.
So is LeBron a Nike guy?
Yeah, he's been a Nike guy since he came into the league. Nike. He has a lifetime deal with them.
Oh, here's this. These are what I was looking for. These Russell Westbrook shoes.
I don't know if I'm the biggest fan of those.
The Why Nots or whatever I think they're called.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know if I'm the biggest fan of those.
Those are interesting. Oh, the One Takes. Let's see. The One Takes are cheaper. They're like $80. So
yeah,
I just can't spend like $100 on a pair of shoes.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't at all.
That seems excessive. But I mean, I collect soccer jerseys, but I find them for cheap and I find the replica ones, but, yeah, maybe there's an off season show there somewhere. We never take these meandering routes, so I'm not honestly too mad about it. We usually stick to the script, but
sure do. Sticking to the script is for pansies and losers, man.
Yikes. What a bad take. Hold on.
What? Come on.
He says there are shoes that are 25. Oh.
You're getting scammed.
That's a little kid's shoe size.
I was going to say, you're getting scammed.
$50 to $100. Here we go. Well, they're all kids. Yeah, I guess that's why they're cheaper, is because they're kids' shoes. All right, well, the Jordan Why Nots, those are interesting.
Okay, just saw some interesting, something interesting.
Oh, hold on. These are on sale. They're normally like $139. They are currently $84. Oh, these are, that is a nice color, except they don't have it in my size. I'm an 11 and a half, so.
You're 11? That's so small.
Yeah. I mean, don't make fun of me. yeah. I mean, these, if the color scheme wasn't so ugly on these ones, I mean, I'd probably go after them. Here, can I screen? How do I screen share on Zoom? Let's do this. This is completely gone off the rails, but I'm okay with it.
Let's see these babies.
Those
aren't too bad. The only thing that will concern me is the freaking huge on the ankle side. That's the only thing that will concern me. But those honestly look really, really good.
Yeah, they do look pretty good.
I'd buy those if I were you.
I'm not a big online shoe guy. Seems like a bad idea. Seems like
it's a horrible idea. I can't even begin to explain.
Like I should go to a store.
You should.
That's okay. I'm saving up my money right now for something. But maybe that'll be it. Maybe I'll go look for shoes and buy a pair of shoes. Although these are like putting these Kobe's on, I hardly ever wear these. These are like incredibly comfortable. So I think I'm going to wear these around a little bit more, but not outside, obviously, because that would trash them. Okay. Let's talk about actual football.
Yeah, we're going to have to put a timestamp for when you want to start talking.
Yeah, I mean, I've been timestamping lately on these things. So, but yeah, I mean, a little pre-show banter never hurt anyone. Everyone's always like, oh, you know, podcasts are about personalities.
Yes. You know, yeah, of course.
We'll see what happens. And I mean, that one podcast that the podcast we did yesterday got more listens than normal when we actually, and purely because of takes about water and sparkling cranberry juice. And
are you serious?
Yeah. And I think it did more listens than it normally does. So Trevor Lawrence came in second in the Heisman voting. What a
joke. That's a disgrace. Should have been Kyle Trask or Mac Jones.
Man, I don't man. Care. See, Devontae Smith, man, I just don't see how he's not a guy that goes within, like, the top 12. He just seems like...
In the draft, he's going top 8.
Mm.
He's going top 8. There's so many teams in the top 8 that need a wide receiver.
Yeah, is this year's class supposed to be as crazy as last year's?
I mean, you got Ja'Marr Chase, you got Devontae Smith, you're going to have Jaylen Waddle, you're going to have... I'm trying to think off the top of my head. This is there's a couple guys that's supposed to be real good. It's supposed to be getting in the first round. Gosh, that's hard to think. I'm trying to think. Oh, Pickens. I don't know if he's going to be top 12, but I would. Does he have a year? If Pickens is eligible for the draft, then George Pickens is going to be another one. That's all I can think of off the top of my head.
All those articles are going to start coming out soon where people are like, oh, here's my big board. Here's what the positions are. Here's what.
Those are the stupidest articles ever.
Strong, and here's one. Well, that's like a large swath of our guests in the off season, so we're going to have to
take
that out.
Whoops. Sorry.
Sorry for just destroying like half of our off season content when we have. Draft people on this show because I mean I don't know a flying crap about
you know, don't dabble in the draft, man.
I don't dabble in the draft.
It's so much fun.
I don't know how to get college tape and
I don't either.
I'm not gonna watch YouTube clips of guys and be like, man, I'm an expert now. I'm just not gonna do that because
I learned that the hard way when I first started writing, dude. I learned that the hard way.
I'm just not gonna do that. Like, you gotta give me the condensed game, you know.
How did they even get that tape, dude?
I have no idea. I don't think it exists. I've been saying that college football needs a game pass or and the conferences could make money too if each conference put out like a game pass type thing. So you'd have to buy for every single conference.
Yeah.
So they would make a lot of money if they did that. But
the NCAA would step in and do that first, though.
Yeah. Well,
the NCAA is full of money.
No. I think that in college football, the conferences have all the power. I think that's kind of been proven.
Oh, you might be right. Well, I think you're right. I just forgot about that. Because it was the SEC who, you're right about that.
Yeah, so that would be interesting. They should do that. I would totally buy that for, like, the SEC and the Pac-12, just because, you know, I like the Pac-12. And
you're for the Big Ten, too.
You have a Big Ten, too. I mean, oh, God. I guess the ACC, too. You got to watch Clemson.
Ugh,
They got all those guys, so...
I'd do it for the ACC if they had like a single team option, like week pass.
Yeah, I am waiting in my head for the off season to start. I need the off season to come. I'm close.
I'm sick of sports right now.
I'm not.
I hate it, dude.
Sick of sports. At all. I would never like them to leave me again. I am totally happy because, you know, from live sports at least, I go from NFL. As soon as the NFL wraps down here in a few weeks. I mean, the Avs are going to start up in about 2 weeks, and that's
don't talk to me about hockey. Oh my gosh,
fantastic! So are the Predators? No, we can't do this right now.
Can I give you a short answer?
Yeah,
the Predators stink. I'm not watching them this year.
Yikes! Well, you should still watch your team, and even if they stink, because it's a good thing to do as a fan. And hockey's fun.
It is. Let's talk AFC role. AFC,
let's get into it. We're only 19 minutes into the podcast. Chiefs up top, one seed.
Yeah,
I mean,
yep.
I'm going to say something not obvious about the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, we get it. Offense is great. Their defense is on another level right now. What Frank Clark and Chris Jones did to the poor Atlanta Falcons in week 16 is just burnt into my head. They wrecked Matt Ryan's day. Frank Clark has been a pro bowler through the second half of the season. Chris Jones has been an all-pro type guy this year. They are really good up front. They have a stacked defensive line. And, you know, in the secondary, you look at the names and you're like, I don't know. But, I mean, they're not liabilities. And Tyrann Mathieu covers up a lot of the issues that they have back there. Their young guy has been very good as well. I'm forgetting his name.
L'Jarius Sneed?
No, L'Jarius Sneed has been okay. He hasn't been awesome. It's their other safety.
Oh, Juan Thornhill.
Yeah, he's been good this year again. As you know, they've hoped he would be, even though he's kind of the backup guy right now behind Tyrann Mathieu. Daniel Sorensen has had a great year for them. They play him a lot more at kind of a linebacker role, but I mean, Daniel Sorensen, former BYU grad, is one of my more favorite like hitters to watch in the NFL. He's just got it down. I really like the Chiefs defense. I think they're kind of a sneaky, complete unit. And with that defense and the fact your offense can basically put up 40 to 50 points a week, you can pretty much go anywhere. So the Chiefs are, you know, the AFC is loaded for a reason. And that is because if you want to beat the Chiefs, you have to be an offense that can drop 50 points and a defense that can try to slow down the Chiefs. That is why the AFC is so much more loaded than the NFC. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. The Packers were the team I said I saw coming out of the, you know, NFC. I could see legitimately five teams coming out of the AFC. And if things broke right, maybe six, and we'll get to them later. But I mean, the Chiefs are the class of the AFC. Here's a hot take for you. I don't think they're as good as the Packers right now. I think the Packers offense is better. But I mean, Patrick Mahomes is just about as good as it gets. I would give the number one quarterback in the NFL to Aaron Rodgers right now. Patrick Mahomes is right on his heels. He's played very well, but the Falcons sneaky made him put up the worst day of his entire career. He did not look good against the Falcons, and I wonder if teams read into that and maybe try to put together something to slow him down. I'm interested to see. I mean, we've all kind of – the pendulum has swung like the other way at this point, where people aren't underappreciating him anymore and saying, oh, this is one of the greatest guys of all time, and rightfully so, but – I do think this is good. It's still interesting. He's not Tom Brady yet to me. He needs one more. If he can make it through this year and get a Super Bowl, I'll never, ever pick against Patrick Mahomes. But I feel like teams honestly figured out how to slow them down a bit down the stretch. Dolphins had success. Falcons had success. And I'll be interested to see what some of these defenses in the AFC do against the Chiefs this year.
You bring up an interesting point with your hot take. I think your hot take was that the Packers are better than the Chiefs right now. Would you? You would take the Packers over the Chiefs right now?
Yeah. I don't think that's a hot take, though.
No, and I was going to say, I don't think that's too much of a hot take. The Packers are playing much more consistent football on both sides of the ball right now that it's not really that much of a hot take at all. But Going back to that defense, it's been kind of remarkable. If you go back to Patrick Mahomes' first year in KC, when it was, the story was Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, that offense is incredible. This is probably one of the best offenses we ever seen compared, and he's carrying the defense along with him. That defense was horrible during Patrick Mahomes' first year in KC. It was horrible. But they've gradually improved year after year, and I think that the hire Steve Spagnuolo helped. The unit got better last year, and it's only gotten better this year. I think that's going to be the unsung hero of the Chiefs this postseason. If that defense can play really, really well, then that offense can still put up their usual 30 points a game, maybe even 20 points a game, and they can still win. That's how much that defense has improved. So it'll be interesting to see if that defense can keep it up, because when this is like Madden, when you combine a good offense and a good defense, you're scoring 60 points a game on Madden. That's just how it is. Now put that in real life and you're going to be watching something you've never seen in your life.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely a fair point. I'm interested to see what happens with the Chiefs. To me, they're not. Everyone's starting to talk about them like the Patriots. They're not quite the Patriots yet. Let's see them make a run. Let's see them get back to the AFC title game, which, I mean, I think should be the bare minimum expectation for them. So we'll see what happens. There are some really good teams in the AFC, and unless you have anything with the Chiefs, we'll move on. But I think it's a lot – I'm speaking about the Chiefs with such caution, and I know I'm going to look like an idiot in 2 months when Patrick Mahomes just lights up the playoffs and waltzes away with a second Super Bowl trophy. But there's just so many other good teams in the AFC and the NFC. Everybody's coming in banged up. The AFC, everybody is playing at the height of their powers right now, and everybody is playing well. Like, you can argue in the NFC, the Seahawks aren't playing well, the Rams aren't playing well, the Bears aren't playing well, and, you know, the football team is the football team. But in the AFC, I mean, you got so many teams playing at such a high level. I don't know. Am I crazy to be thinking that the Chiefs are not some no-doubt slam-dunk favorite to come out of this conference?
I think it's fair to question whether the Chiefs might come out of the AFC, especially considering the struggles over the past 2-3 weeks on offense and how the rest of the AFC is playing. But until I see some team actually go into Arrowhead, knock off Kansas City in the playoffs, then I'm picking Kansas City 10 times out of 10. That might be me, though, but that's just me. I'm picking KC 10 times out of 10 until somebody knocks them off.
Here's the more impressive team right now to me is the Buffalo Bills, because the Bills just went to, or Miami came to them. I forget which way it was. Miami playing for their playoff lives, right? Like, they want to get in so badly. Defense playing at a top 10 level. Nobody has disputed that. The Dolphins defense has been great this year. The offense struggles, sure, that's fine. But the fact that Josh Allen and the Bills basically went and put up 40 by halftime on this team is crazy to me. And they did it without Cole Beasley, and they lose a guy, and they just find guys off the street. They are an incredibly deep team right now. They are, like, spectacularly deep. I want to just pull this up really quick, because their box score for their non kind of star players is absolutely insane, Trey. It is unreal. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but receiving outside of, take Stephon Diggs out, Gabriel Davis had 107 yards against this team. He was on a practice squad 2 weeks ago. John Brown, 72 yards. Isaiah McKenzie, 65 yards. They have guys that just get it done from everywhere. It is not just Stephon Diggs. It is not just Josh Allen. They are a really complete offense, and I would not want to play them right now because the defense has looked a little bit suspect at points over this season, but they're playing better now. And man, Josh Allen, you know, Josh Allen is on the same field right now as Aaron Rodgers, where you look at him and you say, oh yeah, it's just too easy for that guy. Like, who's going to stop him? Like, to me, the question in the NFC is who's going to stop the Packers. Here, it's who's going to stop the Bills, because I don't see a team. I don't see a ton of teams that could potentially do it. And I don't have the Bills coming out of a conference, spoiler alert, but I just think that they're going to have, you know, a really splashy type of win. What do you think about the Bills right now? Am I too high on them? I really love the way they're playing right now. I think Josh Allen is spectacular at the moment, and they are just really impossible to stop right now, I think, on offense.
I mean, with the Bills, with me, I want to have this cautious optimism with them because it's no doubt they've been playing such good football over the past, 2 months, basically. They've been playing some elite-level offensive football, and combine that with the fact that their defense has started to turn it around after they had some not-so-good performances during the first part of the season. And that gives you all the reason in the world to be so confident in the Bills as we get towards the playoffs. But I don't know. I just have this cautious optimism with Buffalo because I've seen so many teams like these where they become stories of the regular season. They come into the playoffs and maybe they win a game or maybe they fall flat on their face, but they just don't look the same for a game or two. I don't know. I just have cautious optimism with Buffalo, but if what we're seeing from Buffalo is truly like 100% legit, then they literally, and I really think they can knock off Kansas City if they go into Arrowhead. I don't care. I really think they can go into Arrowhead and knock off KC if they continue playing football like this. Now, it depends on, I think the kicker here is that I want to see Buffalo maybe have some sort of a run game on offense moving forward. Maybe they develop a run game against the Colts. Doubt it, but we'll see. But I want to see this offense develop some sort of a run game to the point where I don't want Josh Allen to be doing everything by himself, because I still get a little scared for Josh Allen when he's playing the wild, well, not wild, but exciting style of football that he plays as a passer from inside the pocket. So I want to see some of the pressure taken off Josh Allen just a little bit so he doesn't have to do everything by himself. But if he can, then let him go out there, do his thing, because he surely will do it.
Yeah, I just really like the Bills right now. They seem like a fun team to watch every week, and I'm excited to see what happens. They've got an interesting matchup, and we'll get to that later. I know you're pretty high on the Colts. But yeah, they are a really interesting team. All right, Trey, I'm going to actually let you take away the next two. The Steelers. Go ahead.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, that's the 3-seed. It's been sort of a tale of, I guess you say, two games for Pittsburgh. In their game against Cincinnati earlier on in the latter part of the regular season, they didn't look too good against Cincinnati. And that's quite frankly an understatement. They looked horrible against Cincinnati until that second half, until that comeback, until it was too late, too little too late for a comeback. But then they come back against Indianapolis, a football team that's playing really well on both sides of the ball, and they look bad again in that first half. But they completely come back in that second half, and they shut down Indy's offense, and they throw the ball all over Indianapolis' defense. I don't know what to make of the Steelers at this point. I seriously don't. I want to think the Steelers are a team where they can go in, they can run their short passing game / running offense that they like to call it up there in Pittsburgh, and then they can play some good defense and maybe win a game or two. But they played such inconsistent football over the past, I guess you could say, month and a half, that it's just hard to gauge what this Steelers team is. We'll see once we get into playoff time, but it's just so hard to gauge what this football team is. I mean, I don't know. Am I wrong for feeling so like about Pittsburgh as they get towards their game against Cleveland?
No, I think I feel a little about Pittsburgh too. But you just can't fully count them out, I don't think. The weapons are just too good passing wise, and I know Ben's got limitations now, but I just would not be surprised if they, you know, take care of the Browns and maybe go give someone a game in round two. Whether that be, that's probably the Chiefs. But they could be a little bit disruptive. It could go either way. Defense is good. It's not as good as it has been. They're really shorthanded. Joe Hayden has been dealing with injuries most of the second half of the season. They obviously don't have Bud Dupree anymore. It's interesting. To me, they're the one that moves the needle the least. But still, if Ben... I'm still not fully convinced Ben is like 100% done. I kind of need to see it all melt down one more time in prime time. And if I see that again, then I'm probably on that train. But I think there's a possibility that he's not 100% done yet. Because, I mean, even Breeze, towards the end of his career here, has had moments where he's looked like a passable quarterback. Now, Ben hasn't even looked like that at points through the second half of the season, but I think that if they give him the medium and short stuff, like, he can be Breeze. He is, I love the Greg Rosenthal Big Breeze is what he calls him at this point. And, I kind of like that comparison. And if he can be Big Breeze and just move the offense like that, I mean, you should unmute yourself so people can hear you laughing, Trey.
Dude, Big Breeze just freaking sent me, dude. I have no idea why.
Big Breeze, that's a Greg Rosenthal special.
Oh, man, dude. Yeah,
Big Breeze is what he calls him. We'll have to talk with Greg about that when we get him on in the offseason. But, I mean, Big Breeze does – if he can play like Big Breeze, they have a chance because, you know, any team that moves effectively that way, you know, can have a chance. But the play calling's also been bad. I mean, Nick pointed that out a few weeks ago on this podcast, Nick Faribault, and he doesn't think the play calling's good. So
I agree with him.
we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see how things play out.
It really will. I want to see if they can get some, and they've talked about it so much in Pittsburgh over the last month. They want to get the running game going. I want to see if they can get a running game going, and I don't want to see James Conner being at the forefront of that. I don't like James Conner's not good to me. He's not good. I think Vinny Snell is better than James Conner. Am I wrong to think that? Because James Conner just turns me off, bro.
Well, I don't think Benny Snell's good either.
Well, that's true.
I don't
true
think any
well.
Of their running backs are good.
Yeah.
So
the only one with juice is Anthony McFarlane, but he's not a guy that you want to be spearheading a rushing attack. Who knows?
Well, Connor has looked good at points this year, though. That is the thing. Like
he has.
He showed stretches. He's just incredibly inconsistent.
Incredibly inconsistent. They could get better. They could get better. They need a better guy to lead that run game. I guarantee there's some running backs out there in free agency that would be better options than James McConner or James Conner. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too hard on him. We'll see what the Steelers can do with this against Cleveland on Sunday night. Well, against Cleveland, Cleveland's going to be without Kevin Stefanski, right? Yeah,
we'll get to them. In tough. A second here.
But it's on Tennessee.
On to Tennessee.
Let's talk about the Tennessee Titans, the team that's being carried by that offense and is being let down by that defense each and every week. I don't know. This is the worst defense I've ever seen from a playoff team. I think this defense might be worse than the Cardinals defense when they made that Super Bowl run back in 2008.
The Broncos in 2013 would have to disagree with you.
Really? Yeah. I don't know.
That Peyton Manning record breaker team had an awful defense.
Well, this defense might be worse. I'm so serious. The Titans defense has so many problems with it. They can't stop the pass. And that's mainly due to the fact that they have zero pass rush. Their top pass rusher, the pass rusher that has the most sacks on the Titans has 5.5 sacks. They finished with under 20 sacks, I believe, for the 2020 regular season, which is by far the worst single season total for a Titans team ever. I believe I told you about this a couple weeks ago, Eric, that the lowest single season sack total for the Titans has been in the 30s. And that's ridiculous. But this team, I think we know what the team is going to be. It's going to be a lot of the run game with Derrick Henry, a lot of play action with AJ Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, and Adam Humphries when he gets back. And you're going to hope that offense can keep up with the points, because the defense is not going to stop anybody. They're not going to stop anybody. So I think the best you can hope for is that the Titans can score 30, 40 points and hope their defense comes up with one crucial stop at the end. I don't even know if they can do that. So we'll see how this Titans team does. Eric, how high are you high on this Titans team into the, I guess you say, the postseason? Because I don't think – I guess people are high on the Titans simply because of their running game and the offense that they have. But aside from that, what else do they do well? What else do they do well? Absolutely nothing, right?
Yeah. I think that, to me – I would honestly go that I am a little bit high on them, in that I could see them making a run to the conference finals or something like that. They do have the ability to just shut down offenses people forget that playoff run last year, they basically just flipped the entire script, took the ball out of Ryan Tannehill's hands and rode Derrick Henry. That's basically what happened up until they had to throw it in the title game against the Chiefs. Like, I think that they could, you know, pull an upset. And I mean, I guess we can kind of combine this with the talk about our next team when we get to it. But I just think they have an incredibly tough matchup in the first round. But if they get past the Ravens, I would not put it past them making a run to the Super Bowl, but they have to get past the Ravens first. If they get past them, I mean, they can outshoot the Bills. They can outshoot the Chiefs. They can do both those things, but it's got to be a perfect day, and the defense has to do a little. You have to do enough where it's a game where it's whoever gets the ball last, and you have to be the ones that get the ball last. And that requires at least one stop. And who knows if the Titans have that in them at this point.
Yeah, the thing with Baltimore is that the name of the game with Baltimore is the run game, right? And the Titans haven't been all that horrible against the run. It's just the fact that they've been horrible defending the pass and rushing the passer as a defensive unit. So Baltimore isn't the modest or the model team you would want to, I guess you say, show off as an example for top-tier passing offenses. So if the Titans actually have, I guess, one thing going for them defensively against Baltimore, it's the fact that they won't have to – zero in on defending the pass so much or against teams like Buffalo or Kansas City, two offenses that love to throw the ball up and down the field. So I think that's one thing that they have going against Baltimore. But if they can't stop the run, then they're entirely screwed against Baltimore. 100%.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, let's talk about the Ravens.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson is playing probably the best football of his entire career over the past five games. I did the math last night. He has a 66% completion percentage. He has been absolutely deadly through the air when they've asked him to throw. And their running game put up 404 yards on the ground against the Bengals, which is an all-time NFL high. I mean, they are rolling right now. They are playing their best football going in December. Defense looks good. To me, they're the team out of the AFC. I believe that. And towards the end here, just because, I mean, we're going to talk more about the wild card teams on Thursday, but you and I can both talk at the end of this more about who we see coming out of the, you know, the AFC and NFC and Super Bowl predictions and all that.
Yeah.
Me, it's the Ravens out of the AFC. I just think that, you know, swings in sports matter and storylines and narratives matter. And, you know, you can play fantasy football and not care about the narratives, but you can't predict the NFL playoffs and not know the narratives because the narratives matter. This team got smacked by the Titans last year, and everybody has doubted Lamar Jackson this entire year and towards the end of last year saying, oh, he can't pass. They can't play from behind. Okay. Well, what have they done this past year? These past 2 months came from behind against the Browns. That's a big win. Got the running game right against bad teams down the stretch. Now they're here in the playoffs. And, I mean, everybody wants to say that, oh, you know, the defenses haven't been good. Look, I mean, it's the Giants, it's the Jaguars, it's the Bengals, it's the Cowboys, it's all these different teams. And, okay, well, it's also the Cleveland Browns. The Giants had a good defense. And, I mean, of those teams, I don't think the Titans' defense is that much better than any of those teams I just listed. I don't think the Browns defense, for that matter, is that much better than any of those teams I just listed. I mean,
I'd still take the Browns defense, though.
Sure, but I don't see an unstoppable defense in the AFC. Maybe Kansas City, but like I don't see a defense that can neutralize people in the AFC except maybe the Colts. I mean,
you're not wrong.
But I just think that it's going to translate. And, I mean, Lamar has the playoff experience. This is it. This is his third year in the league, right? You know.
Yeah, third playoff game.
You know.
0-2.
You got to – once you get into the playoffs a few times, it's a learning curve. Not everybody is Patrick Mahomes. Not everybody is Tom Brady. Those guys come around once in a generation. You got to learn how to win in the playoffs. I mean, look at Peyton Manning.
He won his first playoff game when he was 27.
Right. Like, you got to learn how to win in the playoffs, and sometimes it's just a matter of getting in the wild card round and just going straight off the bat. I think they can make a run, man. To me, the Ravens are the team I have coming out of the AFC. They are really playing well on offense right now, and they have the pieces on defense to neutralize anybody in the AFC. And I don't know. I'd pick them against the Chiefs. I'd pick them against the Bills. I'd pick them against the Titans. I'd pick them against the Browns. I'd pick them against the Colts, and I'd pick them against the Steelers. To me, they're the team. So that's all I got to say on the Ravens. I could not be higher. I think that we are going to look at Lamar Jackson after this in a much different way. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to go give him weapons over the offseason. They're going to go get a guy like Allen Robinson or a high-class wide receiver. And he's going to come in and he's going to ball out next year, and we're going to be talking about him as an MVP candidate again. I mean, he's that special of a player. And I'm really high on the Ravens right now. To me, they're the team out of the AFC.
That's not bad to be all that confident with the Ravens. They had the luxury of playing against some bad teams during the last stretch of the regular season to where they could get in a groove offensively, specifically with that run game. But I'm thinking about whether I want to agree with you in terms of the Ravens being the team coming out of the AFC. I'd still pick Kansas City. I said that earlier. Until somebody goes on the road and beats Kansas City and Arrowhead, then I'm still picking the Chiefs. But yeah, with the Baltimore, you know, with their run game, and it's been said with Kansas City's defense over the years, even as it's gotten better, and it's strictly with the playoffs. If you can run the ball in January, then you got as good as a chance as anybody to beat anybody. At any field, at any time, it doesn't matter. If you can run the football, you have a good chance of beating anybody, and that's what Baltimore does as well. So it'll be interesting to see what that off that run game can do against anybody else in the playoffs, some of those top-tier teams in the playoffs. And that defense has been playing well too, so that's an added bonus. But it'll be interesting to see what Baltimore does in the playoffs because you're right, they're hitting their stride at the right time. Going into the playoffs, and that's what every team wants. You want to be peaking once you get into the playoffs so you can carry that momentum into the playoffs and maybe get to a Super Bowl. So it'll be interesting to see what Baltimore does in the playoffs. They have a lot working for them. They'll start with a tough game against a tough offense in Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, geez. I think that – to me, they're just a team. I believe in them full-heartedly. The Browns, they got a tough draw. I mean, their coach can't play. Like, COVID hit them. I mean, they've lost their guard. Jedrick Wills, there have been some reports tonight that he's not going to be available. Like, they're so shorthanded right now.
Their backup guard might not be available either.
And I don't know. I don't see any way they win.
I don't either.
I just.
It's tough.
It's tough. They're a cool story, but they're not. I mean, here's the thing that could save them. Here's the optimism. Here's if you're a Browns fan. Okay. All you really got to do is win one game. Because if you win one game, you get basically everybody back.
100%.
And then you have everybody back, slightly rested almost, against probably the Chiefs. Can you win against the Chiefs then? Probably not. But hey, the best case scenario for the Browns is win a playoff game, compete in the second round. Worst case scenario, I mean, I don't know. I'll have to watch the Steelers some more between now and Thursday, but I don't know. I don't buy the Browns. I don't think they're going anywhere. I love Baker, and maybe he comes out and just lights up the world, and everyone says, "Wow, we should have we were down this kid big time, and he carried him." Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's going to happen. And the Browns to me are done, dead in the water, and it's unfortunate. But hey, they made the playoffs, and this is a good stepping stone. They can rebuild a little bit this offseason, move Odell Beckham, get something back for him, you know, work on stuff. I mean, who knows what happens going into next year? I think that they could be a really good team next year.
They can.
But I mean, they lost Olivier Vernon too.
I forgot about that.
This team is just so banged up right now. They just don't stand a chance in the AFC. I hate to say it, but they just don't stand a chance. So good for you, Browns. You got in. I'm happy. I'm going to be watching the Cleveland Browns in the playoffs. I'll be rooting for the Cleveland Browns, but they're not going anywhere.
No, I agree with you, dude.
Colts, tell me about the Colts, Trey, because I'm a little bit bullish on them too. But how do they beat Buffalo? Because that's step one. You got to beat Buffalo. I believe in career late season magic from Philip Rivers. He does not look terrible to me. He looks fine. He looks like Phil Rivers has always looked, to be quite honest with you. He can't move, but he can make a few throws that make you go, wow, that's Phil Rivers. And that is what Phil Rivers is. Jonathan Taylor's playing at a great level right now. Defense balls. How do they beat Buffalo? That's the biggest thing, because if they beat Buffalo, I buy them as a Cinderella story. But they got to beat Buffalo first. I'll buy them when they beat Buffalo. That's what I'll say. I'll buy them when they beat Buffalo. But it sounds like you're much higher on them.
I wouldn't say so much higher on Indy, but I believe I'm a little bit higher on Indy than you are with Indy. I think there's three things that Indy would have to do perfectly to beat Buffalo. Number one is to spin but don't break. I think Buffalo's red zone offense – Like Buffalo has the ingredients to have such a crazy good red zone offense. You have Josh Allen and his arm with the mobility. Then you have all the depth with that with the play action, and then you have Stephon Diggs, a wide receiver. If they have the tools to be a crazy good red zone offense, I don't know if that's been the case this year. But on paper, just looking, you know, at this Bills offense, they have the ingredients to be a really, really good red zone offense. If you can limit the touchdowns, you can give your offense a chance to go down the field and get some points and maybe put Buffalo in a little bit of a hole, put some pressure on that Bills offense, then maybe I can see maybe I see you beating Buffalo. You'll be in a better spot. Maybe I see you beating Buffalo. Number two, I think the big thing would have to be is just limit down on the turnovers. Phillip Rivers, I think we've become accustomed to Phillip Rivers being such a turnover magnet to the point where you expect him to commit these weird turnovers in crucial times of the game. So if he can limit turnovers, and if the offense as a whole can limit turnovers, then you'll put yourself in a better spot to beat Buffalo. And then the third thing, which has been the only thing or which has been the main thing that's been working for them over the past month or so of December, which has been running the football. They've been running the football so well in the past month. Jonathan Taylor has overtaken Nyheim Hines on that running back pecking order. He's played so well. He put up 250 yards just this past Sunday against Jacksonville. If you can run the football, control the clock, keep Buffalo's offense off the field while punishing Buffalo's defense, then you have a good shot at being Buffalo. Those three things are like the most basic of things, but they can seem like the most difficult of things to do, especially against an elite offense, an elite team like Buffalo. So if you can do those three basic yet difficult to do things, then they'll put themselves in a great spot to pull off an upset, beat Buffalo, and maybe start a potential Cinderella story in the playoffs.
Yeah. I like the Colts. I like DeForest Buckner a lot. I think they're a franchise in a really interesting spot, in that they have the right people running the show, I think. They've got a really young roster with a really old quarterback. they're not going to have a great draft pick. I mean, to me, this is the place that makes sense for like a Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan type.
Yeah.
This is the place where that makes sense, because if you get that, you're basically a Super Bowl contender.
Like you are.
It's just that simple. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And yeah. Well, this was fun. This will be out tomorrow. I'll have the time stamp, obviously. But thanks, Trey. This was good. I'm very tired, as you can all tell. But
yep, you sound tired.
We've got our shows in. This will be up tomorrow.
Preview
Check
Thursday.
That out. Preview Thursday. We'll be up late in the afternoon. So,
got a guest for the preview, don't we? Yeah, we do.
We do. Why don't you introduce it? You set it all up, Trey.
I don't do. Do I want to say it right now? Or I'll just say it anyways. ESPN's Toronto Davenport's supposed to be coming on for the preview show on Thursday afternoon. Big time Titans reporter, like I said, from ESPN, highly valued opinion. He's good with the X's and O's and all that stuff. So real fun guest to have on Thursday to give you the wild cards late.
All right. Well, with that, I believe we are out of here. Thanks, Trey.
No problem.
See you Thursday. Enjoy. All right. Peace out, all. We'll see you.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want to shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.